This there's two psalms I want to spend a minute with this morning. All right, the first one is Psalm 16, beginning with verse 7. And you don't have to look it up, just listen. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the joy of your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I came to this psalm in that doing a search on the presence of God. And in the Old Testament times, you think about it, when Moses went up to the mountain, right? The Lord said, well, I'll hide you behind the cleft of a rock, and I'll only show you my backside. Right. And that in Old Testament times, right, the priests would go into the Holy of Holies once a year. They would purify themselves, and they even tied a rope around the priest's ankle in case he had some hidden sin in that and died, that they could pull his body out. Now, in Matthew 27, right, it tells us that when Jesus was on the cross and died, right, the drape that separated the holy from holies, right, was torn from the top to the bottom, right? And my understanding is that drape was about 6 inches thick. So to me, that's a pretty violent act. The Greek word is very violent, right? And what that symbolized was that we have the presence of God with us at all times. We don't have to wait for once in a year for the priest to go into the temple. And that Jesus, he told the disciples to wait because he would have the Holy Spirit come with us. So we have the Lord's presence with us at all times. And that's a reason for celebration. Which leads me to Psalm 89, beginning with verse 15. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, the Holy One of Israel. Would you stand and join me in prayer, please? Father, we truly are blessed that your presence is with us. Your Holy Spirit lives within us, Lord. And you are here with us this morning in this service, Lord. Let us exalt in your presence. Let us glorify your name, Lord. You love us so much, Lord. Let us love you back just a small fraction of how you love us. And let this time bring glory to you, Lord, and be a blessing to us. And we ask this in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Well, we are going to jump in right into it and worship the Lord this morning. This is a beautiful day, and it's wonderful for us to be able to enjoy the Lord's Supper. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you that you are here this day. How deep your Father or our Father's love is for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measures that he should give his only Son to take a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turned his face away as wounds which mar the
Savior, isn't he one?
Thank you, Father God. You are calling each of us. You are calling each of us right now, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. Pray that we would answer that call. Open our heart's door to you this day. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Okay, Jorge, am I on, my friend? Well, the first thing we're going to do is pray. So let's do that, and let's start off in prayer. And then we have a couple of praise reports, then we'll go through announcements and see what God has for us. So, Lord, we just want to say right now, God, we just love you, Lord God. We just ask for your Holy Spirit to be here, Lord, during this time, Lord God. Lord, we just ask that you would orchestrate from this moment forward, Lord, just whatever you want done, Lord God. Whatever you want done in our hearts, whatever you want done in our church, whatever you want done in our school, whatever you want done in our lives, whatever you want done in our family, Lord God, our thinking, our heart, we give it and surrender it all to you, Lord God, to your lordship, Lord. We just give you ourselves, Lord God, and we ask for your presence here. We ask you personally to speak to each one of us, Lord, and that you would have your way in our lives and in our hearts, Lord God. So, Lord, just take control of this whole situation, Lord, everybody here, Lord, the kids' ministries, the youth, everybody, all of us, Lord God, that we would seek you, Lord, with all of our heart, Lord. We love you, and we ask you to bless and protect this place and this time in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, so are we doing a communion first or not? You tell me what you're doing, Mr. Nathan.
It's totally whatever you would like.
You want to do communion?
I was thinking we're doing communion, but
go for it, brother. I'll sit down and I'll wait. That is importante. Please, go, go, go.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Well, if I could invite everyone to prepare for the table this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The exciting thing that we know now, but the disciples did not know, when they were having the Last Supper with Christ before the Passover, they were celebrating the triumphant entry of Christ at that point, and they were coming together in Jerusalem for the Passover. But what they didn't know was that was basically the last formal meal that they had together. And there was so much stuff that Christ was saying about this is his body, this is his blood that is poured out, this is the body that is broken as he's breaking the bread and as he's sharing the cup, and all of the disciples are trying to visualize and trying to understand what is he talking about. But we have the luxury now of knowing what he was talking about and knowing that Christ did die. He was crucified, but he didn't stay there. He was resurrected. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for that you were resurrected and you gave us that salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I could invite the folks to pass right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for what this represents. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your amazing sacrifice. Oh, Lord Jesus. We know it on paper. We know it in Scripture. And I pray that it would be real in our hearts this day as to what your true sacrifice was for us. We thank you that you did fulfill the prophecies and that you were raised again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father God. So as you're taking the bread and taking the cup, just being meditating on what Christ has done for us, that sacrifice. This is also a time for us to be purifying our hearts, asking for his forgiveness, that we are to ask him to shine the light on our hearts and to help us to just let go of the things that hold us back, of the sins that hold us back. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Luke 22, verse 17 says, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, and this divided among you, I tell you, I will not drink of this again, the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God has come. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is calling. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may take of the elements. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, brother. No, God is so awesome. He said, as often as we do this, you know, we do this in remembrance of Him. And I have a bad habit of not remembering communion. And so Gary usually helps me to remember that of Jesus' words and to make sure that we partake in what He has said. And so I am very thankful for that. And so you may have noticed, well, before we do that, I want to give you a couple quick praise reports. Before we start, I know just sometimes it's nice to hear some of the things that God is doing. And I know a lot of you have been praying for our sister Andy, who struggles with incredible back pain and cancer. And we just wanted to let you know, many of you have been praying for her. She got a complete clean bill of health from the doctor. She is cleared of cancer. Praise the Lord. And also, thank you all for praying for Betty and their home. And God did. She shared it on Thursday night with Experiencing God, and it's a miraculous thing. They've given them unlimited extensions, at least currently, on their house, and as many as they need. And it's a total turnaround, and it's absolutely amazing thing. She was just in tears sharing it with us Thursday night. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for praying one for another. That's what we do in the body. And so thank you for that. And I just want to encourage you to continue to do that, church, to pray for one another. Okay? You might have noticed that there were no Panera goods this morning. And so that was to encourage you to buy your goods from the youth and to support the youth group. So hopefully you all bought some chocolate and brownies and sugar cookies. And so you're all now sugar crash for the teaching. And so I'll have to be especially dynamic to keep you awake. But thank you for thank you for doing that and for supplying that and for helping the youth group. I know that they were doing that. Okay, so we don't take any tithes and offerings here, but we do receive them in the back in the little bird box. And so you're welcome to do that. And Natalie, I saw your hand go up. On the Urbans, yes. Also, there is another update on the Urban family. Thank you for those that at Shepherd's Hour Christian School have been praying for the family. He actually has opened his eyes, and he's able to. It's really miraculous. He's nodding. He's understanding. He's doing some basic stuff. And so I don't want to say too, but even that is really miraculous. I'm a little cautious on what to say and what not to say because I don't know what I have permission to say. But in her own words, she said, that in itself is an absolute miracle. And so she just wanted to say thank you guys for praying, but encourage you guys to please keep praying. I mean, I better just be quiet. But it's amazing where he's at right now. So continue to pray and just ask God to do a miraculous healing. Just back up on his feet. So continue to pray if you would. That would be incredible. Okay, so what else do we have here? I don't remember, so I have to use my little clicker. Okay. All right, so if anyone is interested in this, this is Secret Keeper Girl talking about, it's from ages, I would say, probably about 7 to 12 years old. And it's basically, 7 to 12, 7 to 13, just about being God's girl, how God has made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't have to put on airs for anyone or anybody else. But this is being held March 28th. Thursday at 6:30 p.m. You can get the tickets at the Joy FM. It's going to be at the Nazarene Church, and they do this once a year. And I know from other folks who have gone down there, families here, that it's been excellent. And so I just want to encourage you to go there with you and your daughter, if that's the age group there. Yes?
Can I just say something about
you
that?
Sure can.
Secret Keeper Girl is a really cool thing to do with your mom, because like sometimes you don't get to be with her or anything, and like you can just have a lot of fun with her. So
yeah, it is. It is very good. It's a great time for moms and daughters too, and to be centered on the Word and right and God get into our hearts. That's awesome. Hey, thanks for sharing that. And just so you know, if you're new here, yeah, we do allow people to speak here. That's okay. We're not fancy people, but we're very real. And so if you have something that you would like to share, you are welcome to do that even during the Bible studies. Okay, so we want to encourage you, prayer Sunday mornings. And Gary, you raising your hand, so I guess you have something to say? Sorry, you already got to speak once. You're done now.
I'm done. Oh, okay. Okay. It's interesting. They say that an army moves on its stomach. And then I've heard it said that a church moves on its prayer. And I want to do a couple of things. Invite anyone who feels like they need prayer, showing up 9:15, 9:30 on Sunday morning so we can pray for you is a perfect time to do that. But I also know that those of us that are taking experiencing God feel like the Lord is doing something with this church. But that always comes with a bit of a counterattack. In fact, I guess, can I tell from Friday? That,
you can do whatever you want.
And it's just symbolic. I don't think it's physical, but it's fascinating. Friday, there was a snake right by the front, our sign out front.
Yes.
And that. So I do believe that both the school and the church is under a spiritual attack because of what the Lord's doing with experiencing God. And so I would ask you to pray whether the Lord would have you be somebody to pray for the protection for the church, pray for protection for Pastor Darren, for Lisa, for the teachers in the school, for those who do everything, do so many things here for us. But also pray whether the Lord would have you join us on Sunday morning. We're blessed to have people, but I heard it said interesting. You can tell if you want to tell the temperature of the church, see how many people are at the prayer meeting.
Yeah, yeah, good. And you guys are meeting outside right now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Either
outside or in the portable if the weather's
okay. So if you need prayer or if you just want to pray, meet out there. Fantastic. Okay. Also, we have men's Bible study. So for the guys, the first and third Tuesdays. That's this Tuesday. Am I right? Yes. Excellent. And we have pulled pork, is that correct?
We have pulled pork in Ephesians.
And Gary was out there yesterday standing over the smoker. I know that for hours. I know it. I know he was because I called him. He's like, yeah, I'm here with the smoker.
We purchased some of the goodies for dessert for Tuesday night.
Excellent.
But I know that there's a whole bunch left, right, Josh? So go buy them.
Yes. Please support the youth. Okay, so that's first and third Tuesdays. Dinner is at 6 p.m. There is no charge for that. We just want to bless you in Jesus' name, and we want you to grow in the Word. We're going through the book of Ephesians. Also, the women's Bible study, too, is also going through the book of Ephesians. And Erica's leading that the second Tuesday of each month from 6:30 to 8 o'clock here at Home Fellowship Church. I also know that there's going to be a simulcast by Priscilla. I always get this wrong. I want to call her Shear, but everybody corrects me, it's Shirer. Is that right?
Shire.
Okay, all right, whatever. I'll say so I'm wrong. So anyway, so that's going to be Saturday, April 6th, either here at the church, if there's a big group, or it might be in Erica's home or something like that, if it's a smaller group. So it's going to be a live simulcast. It's $20 each, and we don't make any money on it. That's just what they charge to have the simulcast. So it's going to be on Saturday. If you would like more information, Erica, could you just raise your lovely hand right there? See Erica Weaver, and we'd be happy to give you more information. I think we have a little one-minute video. Is that correct? Do I know what time? I absolutely do not. So,
we're still working out some of the details as far as location. I think this is the first time that Home Fellowship has ever done a live simulcast. So we'll be joining women all over the world at the same time, and it starts at 10 a.m. and it goes till 4:30. So when I say we're working out details, that means we're not quite sure how many women we're going to have joining us. And if it's a smaller group, we may do it in a home. If it's a larger group, we will do it here. We may join up with another church that's doing it. And we need to figure out some lunch situations and such like that. But we need to get an idea if you're interested starting now so we can start making our plans.
Right.
And I have a sign-up sheet in the back, and we'll talk more. Next week I'll probably know a little more based on the results from today's sign-up. It's in the back.
Yeah. All right, Gary, you want
to
hit it?
You're just signing up to let me know if you're coming.
I just wanted to pop in and extend to you a personal invitation to join me in April for the Going Beyond Live simulcast. Here's the great thing about simulcast. It means that you don't have to come to the exact location I'm at. I'll just come where you are, at a local church in your area that's going to be hosting the simulcast. And together, across lines that might normally divide us, like geographical lines or denominational lines, we just come together for the day, worship in spirit and in truth, pray together, dig into the Word of God together. Really, it's a great opportunity for us to have a day in the presence of God that will literally change our lives forever. It's called the Going Beyond Simulcast because wherever you are right now in your relationship with the Lord, there is always a new level. There's always deeper depths, higher heights in Him. Together, we're going to go beyond. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, but we have pulled pork, Erica. That's all I'm saying. That's all I know. Listen, for a guy, we're simple. Give us some barbecue, and we're pretty much good to go. Okay, that sounds really awesome. Okay, so a couple other things. We've got Experiencing God that we do on Thursday nights, and it's probably a little late to catch up to that, just so you know. Wednesday night, we have the Transformers Youth Group, which is now the Whosoever's Youth Group. And as they decided to change their name. And so, again, please support them by buying some baked goods out there. We don't profit anything. It's all going just back into ministry. So if you'd buy some cookies or buy them, eat them, go and get a sugar high, give them away, whatever you want to do, give them away in Jesus' name. But just to support the youth group, that would be fantastic. And the Experiencing God course, if anybody is interested in taking this course, there are so many testimonies going on from this. It's a 14-week course. We're in probably about week 7 or 8, and it has been amazing. Do your homework, all you Experiencing Godders. Do it. Do your homework or your God work, and what an incredible Bible study. Thursday, 6:30, 8:30. If anybody else is interested in doing it, we may have another one just because there's been such an overwhelming response. Okay, so that leads us to the book of James. So open your Bibles. You will need a Bible here at this church. You should need a Bible at every church. But you will need one at this church. If anyone needs a Bible, just raise your hand. Yes, a couple. Okay. Hey, JoJo, would you go deliver some Bibles? We are in the book of James. We are actually going warp speed through the book of James. For all you Star Trek people, engage. Okay, that's not exactly true. We've been in it about a month, and we're like, I think, up to verse 5. Okay, so maybe we're going impulse speed, okay? But we are going through. Here's some more Bibles if you need them. Oh, you got them, JoJo? Okay. Did you get one over here? I saw a hand raised over here. Yes, yes. Okay, good. Okay, so we are going through the book of James. I'm going to do my absolute best not to reteach it in those 5 verses. But if you guys remember, James is like the machine gun of the New Testament. It comes at you hard, one verse after another. Half of those verses, there's 108 verses in the book of James. Every other verse is like a command imperative from the Lord. And it's just like, doom, doom, doom. It's long range. It's fast. It's hard hitting. It goes right to your heart. It's armor piercing for those little walls that we have set up. God's word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, divides soul and spirit and our thoughts, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. That's what the book of James will do if you will let God do that work in you. It will come at you hard, fast, deep, and it is versatile. It covers a wide range of topics. And it's talking about, he wants us to grow up in our faith. You know, if I look at Christianity and I look at Christendom, it's probably, you know, miles and miles and miles wide, but it's only about an inch deep. Because a lot of folks just aren't getting it from their head to the heart. And we're not digging in. And so James is like, I want you to know this stuff. I'm going to give you one after another. I want you to know. I want you to mature. I want you to grow. I want you to live for Him. I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that He's called you to. This is an exciting life. The Christian life isn't some, you know, I got to go to church. Pick, 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 pick. This is, man, God has called me. I've got a calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. God has said, I know you. I love you. I've called you by name. I've got a mission for you. I want to train you up and grow you and mature you. And I've got a mission for you, Ray. And for you, Hezekiah. And even you, Chris. He's got a mission for even me. That's our Lord. That's our God. It's personal. It's real. I'm just going to recap, if you'd read with me, the first few verses, and I'll do my best not to. It's been, this is, I think, yeah, we're on our third or fourth week, and I think we're in verse 5. So I always mean to go a little bit quicker. It talks about James, and that's, of course, the half-brother of Jesus, you remember. Old camel knees, because he would pray so much, leader of the church in Jerusalem. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's a servant of God. He knows who he serves. It's not money. It's not popularity. It's not pleasure. I'm serving the Lord my God. Just like we need to ask ourselves that question. He's writing to the 12 tribes scattered. That Greek word means scattered seed, a diaspora among the nations. And they were the early Christians. Many of them were Jewish believers. And those 12 tribes, and they were being scattered because of persecution. The Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, was one of those persecutors, killing Christians, taking them to prison, holding the coats where people stoned Stephen, the first martyr you read in the book of Acts. And so, man, it was a time, but God used those trials in big ways to promote his word, to get his word to go out further. And so God will use all these trials in our lives. And then it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And that word consider, that Greek word, if you remember, means to count it. I want you, it means in your mind to rule over it. I want you to consider it pure joy, not just happiness, because that's fleeting, but joy that comes from within, knowing that you can trust our Lord and Savior. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Not if, when. You're all going to face them. Don't buy into this Christianity that says, oh, once you become a Christian, everything's wonderful and you never suffer or have a hard day at all. That's just fake. That's either ignorance or it's a lie. If anybody tells you that, listen, the Bible says that you're going to face many kinds of trials. And he wants you, God wants you, look at it. My Bible says face trials, right? Most of yours say the same thing. That means not run away from your trials. That's what we all want to do, right? That's what our culture wants to do. Whenever a trial, a hard time, I just want to run. That's my flesh. I want to get out of there. I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to talk through the situation. I don't want to have to deal with that relationship, whatever the trial is. Don't be a runner. Do you guys remember that show, Logan's Run, from many, many years ago? Runner! Don't be a runner. You'll never grow. You'll never mature. You'll be stuck like a hamster on a wheel going in circles. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to grow and mature. He goes on to say, you guys remember, because you know, you have confidence in this, that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And it's only going to develop perseverance if you have the right attitudes in your heart where you're trusting God. Otherwise, it's going to develop depression, bitterness, anger, because God's not doing what you want him to do. We have to trust him. That's where the rubber meets the road in our lives, isn't it? We can talk about Jesus all we want, right? But when hard times come on the scene, all of a sudden it really reveals what's in our heart, doesn't it? You might think you're doing really great. And when God does these trials and lets them come into our lives or even causes them, it's for our good. It's to help us to grow, not to hurt us in that way. Do you know what I mean? Or not to harm us permanently. It's to get rid of some of that junk in our heart. And it goes on to say, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's God's heart for you. Don't ever take that for, he loves you. He just wants you to grow up. I mean, imagine, we have some new babies, and they're so cute, and they're goo-goo-ga-ga-ing, right? And they're in their little diapers, yeah? And they have their little binky, or they have their little bottle, right? It's so cute, and when you fawn over them, So I see multiple babies, and you know, oh, they're so cute, and they go, and they have the little diapers, and oh, they're so great. You know what? If you're a Christian, and that's great, wonderful, you've got a new birth, you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Oh, I have new heart, new desires, and it's an exciting time, and you're that baby, and you're sucking on the milk of the Word. But you know what? If you're my age, and I'm still up here with my little binky, and I haven't matured and grown as a Christian, I've just learned some Christian goo-goo-ga-ga lingo, you know, lingo, and I'm up here in a diaper, let me tell you, there'd be nobody in the church. We have to grow. Wouldn't that look weird? But honestly, that's what a lot of us Christians are, maybe still in diapers in some areas. We still got our blankie. We still got the binky. That stuff needs, we need to grow up in our faith, okay? We need to mature. We need to handle these trials in a way that is trusting of the Lord. Whether it's cancer, or whether the car engine drops out, or whether we can't pay the finance, the mortgage payment this month, or whether the boss is just being a real jerk to you, or whether you have a relationship issue with another girl or a guy, we need to learn to handle it in a godly way, trusting that the Lord's going to work out all these things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He wants us to grow and to mature, so we won't be lacking anything. So I think that's where we left off. Oh, yeah. And then it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to them. So I remembered last week that we talked about, I don't even know, I got to see where my slides are. If you could hit that. Thank you, Chris. You're the man. Thanks. Oh, I love it. It's great. Okay, so we went through a lot of this stuff, so let me scroll forward just a bit. Okay, we talked about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can know a lot of Bible, but wisdom's sort of where the rubber meets the road, where we apply that knowledge into our life. That's wisdom. And so when we seek wisdom, how we seek wisdom from God, we talked about this last week. We're not going to go through it all again, but one is to revere the Lord. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to read and to respond to God's word. We can't just be hearers of the word. We got to be doers. Otherwise, we're only deceiving ourselves. We have to receive others' godly counsel. Now, nobody wants to receive counsel these days. It's the weirdest thing. If I'm counseling you from God's word, they're not my words. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what God says. And so is your friend. If they're giving you godly counsel, listen to what they're saying. Especially if they're doing it with a humble heart. If you want to grow in wisdom too, we need to recognize Jesus more and more. Colossians 2:3 says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in Jesus Christ. As you come to know him better, you will grow in wisdom. And then finally, like it just says, to request it in prayer. And when we talked about that, and when we're praying, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all, and it will be given to them. So we ask, seek, knock, and the Bible says the door will be opened. We're to pray persistently. Luke 18:1, always pray and never give up. And then, of course, this one, especially for the new folks here, this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. That doesn't mean if you want a new Mercedes convertible turbo, I'm going to claim it. Do you really think that's Jesus' will for you to have that? I don't know. I think not. Anyway, okay, so here we go. So that, my friends, is where we left off. Okay, so one of the weird things that I find is when it says that when we're going through these hard times, we're going through these trials, God says, I want you to ask for wisdom. Now, to be honest, that seems weird to me. I'm just being honest with you. You're good. Like, why does God ask that? Why do you think we need to ask God for wisdom when we're going through trials? Honestly, I'm asking you. What now?
Seek his direction, not our own.
Seek his direction and not our own?
Karen.
Yes.
Could we stop for a moment?
You need help, Eskimo?
And pray for this man.
Yeah. You're welcome, Eskimo. I got you, buddy.
He is in excruciating pain and he needs to leave.
Yes, he is. A lot. I'm going to hug you and pray for you real quick. Love you, Eskimo. Lord, I just pray a blessing over Eskimo, Lord, that he would come to know you and love you. We pray for his pain, that you would ease it and help him to get through today, Lord God. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you got it, Eskimo?
Thank you, dear.
Okay. Thanks, Nathan. Thank you, brother. When we go through trials, we need to ask God for wisdom to get his perspective on things. Because when we are in these trials, all we see is the circumstance. And then we magnify it in our mind, right? Okay, Eskimo hurts. I'm in pain. That's all I know. I hurt. Or maybe you've got a trial and your heart is hurting. Or you can't afford something. You're freaking out and you're anxious. And we get all... And it just occurs to me that, you know, when we ask for wisdom, like I would have thought he would have said, hey, ask for miracles, ask for strength, ask for even deliverance from these trials, but he doesn't. And the reason why he wants us to ask for wisdom when we don't understand is because we need God's wisdom so that we will not waste the opportunities God is giving us to mature. In other words, when these trials come into our life, we can either handle it in a good way, in a godly way, according to the word of God, what he says, right? And grow from it and trust by faith in it. Or we're just going to keep going around, do another lap in the wilderness. Do you remember when they were supposed to go into the promised land? Do you remember? And everybody's like, oh, we can't do this. God told us to go into the promised land, but the guy, they're giants. It's too big. We can't handle it. Oh, and they had to go years in the desert wandering. I don't want you to spend years in the desert wandering. We need to learn and grow. God, give me wisdom. One thing, if you could ask one thing, whatever trial you're going through, okay? You leave with this one thing, okay? Just one. Hopefully you leave with lots of things. But leave with just one thing. Say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? What are you trying to show me in this? Would you just ask God, what are you trying to reveal to me through this? It may be for you. It may be for someone else down the road. It may be to get something out of your heart. Who knows? But just ask him every trial that you're going through. God, what are you trying to show me? And so can you bring that microphone to Mr. Anthony over there? But every time, just Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Just ask him for that wisdom. What are you trying to show me through this? Ask him to reveal it. Ask him for that wisdom every time. Go ahead.
Like you said, that's what we need to be doing, because I feel that a lot of times, including myself, we're too busy just wanting the end result and want just God to fix the problem, solve it for us, where there's no teaching and no learning during the course of that trial. Just fix it, you know what I'm saying, and just move on to where just take the problem away, but we're not going to learn anything through it.
Absolutely. I mean, go ahead. Here, we're going to give you the mic. Yeah.
We're in an instant gratification society.
Yeah.
Okay? We don't realize that you have to go through anxiety.
Yeah.
You can't stop it.
Yeah.
Go through it and learn from it.
And go through the trials. Yes. And trusting in him. Honestly, every show that's on, right? If it's a detective mystery, it's solved, unless it's a two-parter. If it's a relationship issue, it's all solved. You know, the marriage is solved within that 30, 45 minutes. Isn't that wonderful? Well, anyone who's married knows it doesn't always get solved in that 45 minutes, does it? Right? Anybody who's gone through any problems at work knows it doesn't really happen like that. That's not real life, but that's what we've got in our heads. Sometimes I'm just so impatient. If I have to wait, when I go out to eat, I suck down teas like nobody's business. So I usually ask for a couple of them iced teas because they hate me by the end of the time. I'm like, can I have my tea, number 11 tea? You know, so I say, bring me two at a time so you don't get mad at me. But if I have to wait for a couple of minutes, I'm like, I'm having to wait 2 minutes for the tea. Okay, help me be patient, Lord. And I'm thinking, I'm so spoiled. Right? We're so spoiled, maybe. So let God's goal is that you mature and grow, because he's actually working on you for eternity. And he wants you to shine and to be a light so that you don't handle the anxiety like your friend who doesn't know Jesus. That you don't handle the problems at work like your buddy who could care less about God. Do you guys see what I'm saying? He wants you to shine and to shine for him. That's his goal, right? All right, all my slides are messed up, but we're just going to keep rolling anyway. We're going to go through this and see where God takes us next. The next verse in our Bible, where we start, is James chapter 1, verse 6. And I'll just read. I got the King James Version up here. Mine's NIV. But anyway, he says, "But let him who asks, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Now, my translation says a little bit different. Oops, sorry about that. My translation says a little bit different. It says, you know, when we ask, we must believe without doubting. For he that doubts is like a wave of the sea with the wind, just driven by the wind and tossed. You know, and when I think about that, how many of you guys have been on a boat out in, okay, in the ocean? Okay, you have. Okay. I've been on small boats, okay? We've been on a diving trip and down in the Key West. And I remember I don't throw up very easily, but a storm came in, these trials. You know, I just pictured the trials. And what was a really glassy area, right? Really fun time. I was with some big guys. They're each like 200-300 pounds. You know, their muscle, one guy was like 6'4", 6'5". And they were just like, oh, God. You know, I wasn't saved at the time. I didn't get saved until I was about 30. And so they were just like screaming. And they had to jump in the water. And they're just, of course, they're throwing up. And everything goes on with that. And the whole boat's just going this way and that way. I mean, we were just being blown all around because the wind was that powerful. Well, now you think, well, if we were on a cruise ship, then with all the electronics and stabilizers that they have, size, the weight of the ship. Has anybody been on a cruise ship in a storm? Oh, you have? Let me tell you, that sounds really nice, doesn't it? What happens? It's like it's a little toy. You're still, I remember being in the dining car, and I was like, there was like maybe like, I don't even, dining car, I'm thinking of the train. Dining area, it's not a car. Anyway, and watching, there was almost nobody in there because everybody was in their cabins throwing up. And I remember the few of us that were there, I mean, literally, the tables are like, you know, listen, God doesn't want you blown around by every wind of doctrine, by every little thing that comes into your life. When you see an immature Christian, that's what they do. They're freaking out constantly. And God, that's okay. God loves you. He's got you. But he wants you to grow and say, okay, realize I've got you through this. I've got you through this. I've got you through the last 100 of thises. Do you trust me now? I'm going to get you through this one. Has God not brought you through every single trial? Maybe not exactly the way you anticipated, right? But God has brought you thus far through every single trial in your life. He has been faithful to you. Not one of his good promises has not come to pass. He is faithful to you then, he's faithful to you now, and he'll be faithful to you in the future. That's our God. But he wants you to grow up in that, because you know what? He knows you're going to have bigger trials. And then longer. You must learn to trust in them. When I think about a wave of the sea, you know, it's a fitting description of those who are continually hindered by unbelief and unnecessary doubts, and because the wave of the sea is without rest, and so is the doubter. I just even think of the disciples when they were in the boat, right? You guys remember the story? And the wind and the waves, and they're like, Lord! And Jesus, of course, was sleeping, you know? And he's like, Lord, wake up, don't you care? We're about to die. Now, Peter was a fisherman. These were seafaring guys. They know what's going on. This wasn't, okay, nah, Lord. They just seen him do miracles. Miracles. Feedings of 5,000 with a couple loaves and fishes. Supernatural stuff. Yet when this trial came in their life, and they didn't say, Lord, don't you have the power to stop this? Don't you have the miracles? Can you give? They, you know what they said to Jesus? They said, don't you care? Don't you care? See, that's where the trust comes in. The enemy always wants to say, oh, God loves her, but he doesn't care about you. And that's a lie from the pit. Right? We always think, oh, if this same situation, if it was happened to Stanley, I know God would be right there for him. Oh, if it was Nathan, oh, I know. Oh, if it was Judy, well, God would be right there, I'm sure, but it's me. He's abandoned me. So I'm going to get mad and bitter. Yeah, God doesn't love me. Why am I following him anyway? Then I shouldn't have even tithed, and let alone given up my time for that other person. See, the enemy's always right there working in your mind. Listen. A wave of the sea is unstable, and so is the doubter. God doesn't want that for your life. You can trust him. A wave of the sea is driven by the winds, and so is every wind of doctrine. It's a terrible place to be. God wants you stable, rooted firm, like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. A wave of the sea is also capable of great destruction, and so is a doubting person that's constantly doubting God. You're causing devastation wherever you go because you're going back to whatever it is. Well, Lord, I couldn't help myself. I had to cheat on my husband. I had to cheat on my wife. The pressure was too great. I had to steal the money. I had to cheat on my taxes. I had to lie. I had to. No, you don't. No, you don't. Let me give you a few things that I love some of the old saints and sometimes what they say about faith or belief. And I really love it because we need to have faith. And that faith isn't, I'm not saying, hey, like one of those, you know, brothers and sisters, we just have to have faith. We have to have faith, faith in faith. No, we need to have faith in the one that we know and that we've come to trust. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I love Oswald Chambers. He's got a great devotional, My Most for His Highest, and there's a lot of trials that he goes through as he's writing this devotional. And I remember giving this to this young girl many years ago. She wanted to be a missionary, and she came from kind of a church where they said that God will always make you prosperous. You know, you'll never have any trials or never any sufferings, and just blessings all the time. And I thought, oh, this poor girl has no idea, And I remember giving her this Utmost for His Highest devotional, and she read it. I said, what did you think? She said, wow, Pastor, it was really, really eye-opening. It was really, really tough, but it was really eye-opening. I said, oh, good, good. She's like, you know, but I thought about it, but I just want the blessings. I thought, oh.
She didn't get it.
Lord help her. I love the girl to this day. But Oswald Chambers said, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. See, whether it's bright and shiny and sunny and you know exactly where you're going and you can see clearly, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. Right? Okay? Praise the Lord. Yeah, everybody loves that song. I can praise along there, but you know what? What if he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death? Well, then you know what we do? We fear no evil, for thou art with me, right? He's just as much with you there as he is in the sunshine, okay? You have to learn to trust in the one who loves you. He's shown you he loves you by the cross, the blood that was shed for you. Listen, I love this. It's another Oswald Chambers quote. Faith is not resignation to a power we do not know. Faith is committal to the one whose character we do know, because it has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. See, his character has already been revealed to us. We can trust him. To know him is to trust him. Okay? Here's Corrie ten Boom. I like this. Faith is the radar that sees through the fog the reality of things at a distance that the human eye cannot see. The issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. See, our God, the Bible says he's for you, not against you, right? He says he'll never leave you, never forsake you. These promises are true. The Bible puts it this way. He doesn't want us doubting all the time and stuff and wondering if he loves us and doubting his character. And the Bible puts it this way in Hebrews 11. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So when you're going through these trials, you can have faith and confidence that your God says he's going to work it to your good. Even if someone else is trying to work it for your bad, right? Do you remember Joseph's brothers? Do you remember in the Old Testament, in Genesis, what they did to him? Threw him down a well, right? Beat him, threw him down a well, sold him into slavery. God used it, turned the whole situation down. He became the number two man and saved the entire world of his own family, the Jewish people. I mean, it's been incredible. You can trust the Lord in whatever situation by faith. Read all of Hebrews 11. And all of Hebrews 11 doesn't work out super peachy keen. It goes on and it says, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, do it for homework, you're going to find all these awesome things in faith. He shut the mouths of the lions. He resurrected the dead and all these cool things. But then you're going to say, these other men by faith were sawed in half and persecuted and killed for their faith. And were they less faithful? No. But they're entrusting their lives in eternity to the one that they know and trust. I know and trust my Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? Do we? Listen. Hebrews 11:6 is our, I think it's our memorization verse in experiencing God this week, or maybe it was last week. But it says, without faith is it impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And now when we talk about faith, I'm going to skip that verse. It's not, I don't want you to think, well, if you're immature in your faith, because he says this, this is Jesus now in Matthew 17:20. He said, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, that's how small it is. So listen, even if you have a tiny bit of faith, this is all I got, Lord. I'm working on fumes. I just got a mustard seed of faith here, and I'm off. That's what I'm holding on to. He'll meet you right where you're at. Because he loves you. It's not, I don't want you to think, you know, having doubts or something is sorry, went back, went too many. There was a time in the book of Mark where John and Peter, they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they came down, right? They went up there, and they saw God's glory. It was amazing. They saw Jesus transfigured. They said it shone like lightning. And when they came down, there was a guy who had a son, and he was possessed by a demonic spirit, and it would throw him into the fire and into the lake and cause him to have convulsions. And he brought him to his disciples, and his disciples couldn't do anything, right? But he brought them there in faith. Will you help them? And they couldn't do anything. So they came down, and the Pharisees were like, see, you don't trust in that Jesus guy. You don't need to bother with him. And when they saw Jesus, they ran up to him, and he said, you know, can you heal my son? He's like, can I heal? All things are possible, you know? And he's like, and he said, all things are possible for those who believe, Jesus said. And I love the guy. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. See, that's not being like a doubter that's blown away by he's coming to you with what he has. That's a good thing. God is real. And if you come to him with whatever you have, a loaf and some fishes, he'll multiply it. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? You just, Lord, just be real with him. Just say, Lord, I believe. Help with my unbelief. When I got saved, I remember going down that aisle and a part of me was screaming, this is all a show. Don't do this. This is just some religious people putting on a show, trying to say how many numbers they can count their hands, blah, blah, blah. You know, and the Lord is saying, you know I'm calling you. You know today is the day of salvation. And I went there and I just knelt before him. I said, Lord, I just felt like today was the day. And I just said, Lord, okay, as much as I know how, I'm giving you my heart. I'm trusting you. If this whole thing is real, I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you life, my life. I will do whatever you want me to do. I just want you to take my life. I know I'm a sinner. I know you've died for me and you rose again from the dead. I want to be saved. I want to live my life for you. Come into my heart and life and make me new. I want to be born again. And you know what? He did that. But I just had a tiny bit. I'm just, Lord, if this is real, I'm giving it to you. I am. And he honored that. You come to Jesus right where you're at. And I saw a hand up over here. So would you bring that little microphone over there? Thank you, my dear.
Not that long ago on the Joy FM, I heard one of the Christian artists talking about her song, one of her songs, and she talked about that faith of a mustard seed. And sometimes it's like when things are just out of control and you don't even know, just calling God. That's it. Just God. That's that mustard seed.
Yes.
Because there you're saying, I can't do it.
Yes.
But I just need you.
Yes.
So when we don't even know what to say, we don't know what to pray, we don't even know what in the world we need.
Right.
Just God help.
Yes.
And he's right there.
Yes. We just have to ask in faith, even if it's fumes. You ask him in faith. In verse 7 in James, it goes on to say that if you're just like the doubter, if you're not asking by faith, you know, then it says in verse 7, that man shouldn't think he'd receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all he does. Listen, that word, he's double-minded, I said Hebrew word, but it's a Greek word. It's a dipsuko, and it means actually means two-souled or two-hearted. It's not a picture of somebody who's like, I kind of believe, but I don't. I have a little faith, but it's not that. It's, I'm really planted in two worlds. Like, I grew up in the church for almost 30 years, but I wasn't saved. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did the religious stuff, but I really never gave him my life because I was doing my own stuff completely on the other side. You know what I mean. A double-minded man, like a suke, where psychology, we get it from that, you know, it means the soul, the essence of a person. Your heart's completely divided. It would be like, there was a time when in church, when there was a man with a withered hand there, and Jesus went up to him and it was actually a trap of the Pharisees. And he asked this man to stand up. And the story goes, he stood up, and then he says, stretch forth your hand. And it says, as he stretched forth his hand, by faith he was healed. Tendons, ligaments, cells, regeneration, everything happened right there immediately. A double-minded man would be like, Jesus would say, stand up. And he's like, stretch forth your hand and be healed. You know what? I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'll stand up. I'm not going to go all the way. I'm not going to trust you by faith. That's too much. Do you see what I'm saying? Don't expect us to receive anything from the Lord. If that man had not by faith trusted in God's word, he would not have been healed. That's where the rubber meets the road. You can talk about it and learn about it in your melon all you want, but if there's not an adjustment in your life, nothing will ever change. Does that make sense? Do you hear the heart? A double-minded man, a double-souled man. It says he's unstable in all he does. In verse 8, the Greek word, the Greek word here is, it's like akata, I can not even try to say it. I had it earlier. Anyway. The Greek word means basically it's a picture of a person being drunk. Now, since I didn't get saved at 30, unfortunately, I know what that's like. And if you've ever, or if you've ever been with a drunk person, if they're really drunk, okay, let me tell you, it is not fun. And let me tell you, you know why they have them get out of the car and walk a straight line? Because no matter what they do, they ain't going to walk the straight. You could concentrate. And even if I've watched alcoholics when they're super drunk, and they'll try very hard to make sure they're pronouncing all of their words correctly so that no one will notice they're drunk. But you know, because they're unstable in all they do, even their words are unstable. Their balance, you could not, you know, you could not walk that straight line. I mean, you're going to have fines, tickets, in the paper. You can't do it because you're unstable. And that's what that double-minded man is. That's what the double-minded woman is. Does that make sense? Like a drunk person, no matter what you do, you're unstable in everything you do. And God doesn't want that for you. Yes, I see a hand up. Would you bring that microphone back there to that young man? Oh, my goodness.
Well, just to get back, you know how you said that usually, you know, people when drunk when they don't act right, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I remember my science teacher, Mr. Tharp, he was really cool.
Yeah.
He told me that one time two guys got so drunk they walked home. They were walking home on their elbows. So.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not the kind of Christian you want to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he doesn't want you to be that unstable in everything you do. But that's what it means. All right, I got to speed up here. All right. No, I don't. Thank you. All right, let's read verse 9 and 10 in James 1. It says, the brother in humble... Now, some people think he's talking about something different. He's still talking about trials here, so stay with me here. It says, the brother or sister in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a flower. And then verse 11 says, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. Listen, trials have a way of kind of leveling the playing field. Do you know what I mean? Whether you're rich or you're poor, let me tell you, somebody tells you you have stage 4 cancer, that money doesn't mean squat to you. You're like, I don't even care about that. It's all fades away. If you have nothing, if you live in a hovel somewhere, right? And you're told you're a stage 4, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that my home is in heaven. Thank you with you, right? I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You see, trials and those things are an equalizer in our lives. We all go through them, rich or poor, okay? And so, you know, he's just saying here that same grace that would exalt the lowly is also going to humble the rich. He's going to work in each of these situations. Whether you're... The bottom line is, when you come before God, you know, the Bible says in Matthew that even to get saved, you could be the richest person in the world, billionaire. Do you know what that means to God?
Nothing.
You could have nothing. Maybe you've made even terrible decisions in your life and you live in squalor because of it, and you come to God. Do you know what that means to God?
Everything.
Nothing. He loves you just as much. See, we all come. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. He wants us to have humble hearts. So if he, you know what, if you're a rich person and he's humbling you, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, because I now realize that all these things I have don't mean anything if I don't have you, Jesus. If I'm going to hell, what difference does it make if you're a billionaire or you're super popular or you've got all friends on Instagram? You're a Kardashian. Who cares if you're going to hell, right? If you don't have Jesus in your life when these trials come, you're going to be crushed. And if you have nothing, you can just, again, say, thank you, Lord, that I really have everything. I have mansions in heaven. I'm coming for, I'm waiting for you. Yes, go ahead.
There were all these people who were giving to the church, you know, like thousands of gold shekels and stuff like that, and the rich people were getting tons of attention. But then along came along this poor old lady who just put in 2 copper coins. And it just shows how much, you know, like she gave all that she had just so she can serve God, even though she could have spent it for food, which I think one day we will see her in heaven.
Yes, 100%. And listen to this. You want to turn with me if you can get there to 1 Timothy, I'll just read this, but it's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, for you Bible folk. Turn there with me. Come on now. Don't be lazy now. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And starting in verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Be back to your left. This is what God says, you know, rich or poor. He says, in verse 6, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Listen, if he's given you money, use it for his glory. Thank him, because it could all go away like that. And if you don't have it, then realize that your treasure is in heaven, and that's what's most important. But he says this. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, he says, we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Isn't that true? How many billionaires' kids came out with, you know, bling on them? Any of them? Diamonds, perhaps? Jewels? Anybody know of any? Nothing. You all came in naked. In your birthday suit. And you know what? You're all going to leave with nothing. There's never going to be a U-Haul behind a hearse. Do you know what I'm saying? You can't take it with you. What you have is what he's given you. And so, man, let me just give back to you, Lord. You saved me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right. I'm just going to finish up like 2 more verses and we're done. All right. Remember, can't serve two masters. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, you'll either hate the one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon, or God and money. And 1 Peter 1:24, 25 says, all people are like grass, and all their glory, all their fame, it's just like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't matter how popular or how prestigious or how, none of that matters. You know what you can boast about? Boast that you know Jesus. If you have that and you know him, you're richer than any rich person you could ever know. You're the king's kid. You don't get more popular than that. You're a child of the living God, the creator of the universe. It doesn't get any better than that. And everybody's like, yeah, okay, whatever. It doesn't get any better than that. Wow. Now, who is this? Who is it? Okay. Everybody agreed? Miley Cyrus? That's who it is? Okay. All right. Who is this? Anybody know? Prince who? Prince Harry. And what's her name? So it's Meghan Markle. Okay. Good. Okay. What's this next? Who's this? No. Who is it? Who said it? Ryan what? Something about a gosling? Ryan Gosling. Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, here, hit that light just for 1 second, Chris. Now, I want to read something to you here. In verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres. You guys remember that from an earlier teaching, who perseveres under trial, continuing steadfastly under trial, because he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now listen, you'll be able to tell who the real Christians are, because they know the Lord and they're going to stick with him no matter what. Even though they stumble, even though they fall. A righteous man falls 7 times, but 7 times he gets back up again because he loves the Lord. Or a righteous woman. because I know the one who saved me, right? And all those people that you just saw, I said, who is this? You said, Miley Cyrus, Prince Harry and Merkel Markle or whatever, and Ryan Gosling, right? Did I get that right? Okay, can I tell you what? Here, hit the like just real quickly, Chris. Can I tell you, you're all wrong. These are all wax statues from Madame Tussauds. It looks just like them, doesn't it? You know what? But if you turned up the heat, what would happen to them? See, the same thing is going to happen. God wants to grow and mature you. So when those trials come in, you don't melt down like the world does. He wants to grow you and mature you. So when those trials come in, you might have the same fears, you might have the same problems, you might have, but I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to go and melt down and I just couldn't handle it, Pastor Aaron, so I get drunk. I just went back to the pills, or I went back to the meth, or I went back to pornography, or I went back to sleeping with other women or men. Listen, that's how the world handles it. That's how they anesthetize themselves. I get it. I used to do it. But I'm a Christian now. I follow my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So do you. You don't go back there anymore. That's not for you. You can handle your trials and not melt down under the heat, under the refining heat, right? That's what it does. That heat, those trials are refining you like metal, right? It's become stronger when you put iron into heat or steel under heat, extreme heat, it becomes stronger. That's what God wants for you. Does that make sense? That's how you will be able to tell the difference. It's not one of those wax hypocrites, see? They melt down. They're just like everybody else. I remember somebody, I was a new Christian. I remember somebody saying that to me because I was doing something wrong. And you know what I was doing, really? Something wrong. And I was being a hypocrite. And so God had to change my heart and life. Oh, honey. Oh. It's okay. Don't think twice about it. We're very family oriented. I blame Nick over there. So just, yeah. It's easier that way. All right, last verse here. I'm not even going to go into that. Oh, it's so good. Maybe I'll send it. Okay, yes, I'll start with it next time. And then let me see if I want to do one more thing. Okay, let me just leave it there. There's such a good portion, though. Okay, I thought I would get to this. Okay, guys. All right, so we're going to stop right here.
You're going to read that?
No, I'm just going to leave it there. So we'll leave off with this verse. Blessed is the one, the man or woman who perseveres under trial, the refinement, because when, not if, when he has stood the test, and that's a metallurgy word, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Listen, not only do you get to grow and mature in this life, but you're going to get crowns that you can give back to Jesus in the next. You can't go wrong. And it says that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Listen, and if you love the Lord, the Bible says that you're going to obey him. If anyone has my commands and obeys them, Jesus says, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Let's leave with that. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you for loving us enough to teach us and to train us and to grow us and to mature us, Lord. Help us, Lord, when we're in these situations to trust you, Lord. Help us to come to know you better so that we can trust you more in these situations and not melt and not melt down every time there's a trial in our life, Lord. But instead, trust in you, Lord. Persevere in you, Lord God, to show the world that this power that we have is not of us, but it's from you. Lord, we ask your blessing on each person here. And I ask that you would help them to grow, help them to mature, strengthen them in their faith, Lord. Help them to go to you and ask for wisdom, Lord God, when they're in these trials, Lord God. To ask what, for your perspective, what you're trying to show them, Lord God. So that they can all be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then they can go to the people right next to them, grab them and pull them up with them and get them out of the muck and the mire, Lord. We pray for your blessing on each person today and this week, that you would help each one of us to come to know you better and live for you fully. And we ask this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.